according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. The voice of tomorrow.
Tomorrow, brought to you by the Churches of God in Christ Jesus, located at Morrytown in Seven Fountains, Virginia. Our national church headquarters is located at Oregon, Illinois. This morning we have a ladies' trio to sing for us, and the trio is composed of Miss Janet Turner, Mrs. Grace Kane, and Mrs. Darlene Shaw. And they're singing for us, Glory to His Name. For that message and song. You're invited to the Sunday school at the Morrytown Church this morning at 10 o'clock. And in the Fort Valley Church, we're having Sunday school at 10 o'clock, morning worship at 11 this morning, evening worship at 7:30 this evening. Then we have what we feel are very important midweek Bible study services in each church. In the Morrytown Church at 7:30 each Wednesday evening, and in the Fort Valley Church at 7:30 each Thursday evening. And we invite you to these services, any or all of them, and don't forget our midweek services, 7:30 in Morrytown on Wednesday evening, 7:30 in the Fort Valley Church of God on Thursday evening. The message this morning, in the latter days. In this message, I'm continuing the thoughts I began last week on the great prophecy in Ezekiel 38 and 39. The events in chapters 36 through 39 of Ezekiel seem to deal with the time in which we are now living and in the immediate future. Chapters 36 and 37 are vivid descriptions of the regathering of the nation of Israel and of its reestablishment as a nation in the land of Palestine. Chapters 38 and 39 tell of an attempt by certain nations to overrun the nation of Israel and the outcome of that attempt. I'd like to say, by way of introduction, that I do not understand the meaning of all the prophecies given in these chapters, I may be mistaken in some of the ideas that I have concerning these prophetic utterances. Further, I will say that this is not an exhaustive study of this portion of God's Word. I only hope to call your attention to these chapters so that you might prayerfully study them for yourself. I have found them to be another indication that God is all-powerful and all-knowing, that He knows the end from the beginning and has set forth enough of His wonderful knowledge in the Bible that His true servants might be encouraged in their faith in Him. I feel that the great events of war and destruction pictured in Ezekiel are also foretold in many other places in God's Word, sometimes approached from one angle, sometimes from another. These prophecies seem to have one thing in common. They foretell the end of man's rule and the destruction of man's armies and man's system. Some ask, why does God permit war and destruction? I think I can answer that question. God is allowing man to have his way for the present. War is the result of man's greed and pride. The strong force their will upon the weak, according to man's philosophy that might makes right. It has always been so, but a change is due. In Ezekiel 38 and 39, we see that God is going to make war. He is going to fight with a purpose. He is going to destroy the destroyer. Man makes war for the purpose of gain and oppression. God will make war for the purpose of justice. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord, Romans 12, 19. Now will you follow along in Ezekiel 18, or 38, pardon me, as I read verses 16 through 23. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven, the beasts of the field, and all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his band, and upon many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstone, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. In verse 16, we notice two reasons why God is especially concerned when Gog and Magog and the armies with them attempt to capture the land of Israel. He says, and thou shalt come up against my people. The children of Israel are in a peculiar sense God's people. He cast them off for a time. He hid his face from them for a time, but they have suffered for their sins. At the present time, he has begun to bless them. In the near future, their repentance will become complete, and their restoration will be complete. It is possible that the very event of this great northern army overrunning their land will hurry this repentance. God will not completely forgive them until they accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. But that time will come. He also said, I will bring thee against my land. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, it is true. But the land of Palestine belongs to God in a special sense. God said, my land. The nations have not recognized this fact. They have sought to divide the land according to their purposes. In fact, the nations have taken God less and less into consideration as time has passed. Many of them have begun to act as if God did not exist. Many nations are determined that God's people are not going to remain in God's land. The events foretold in Ezekiel will reveal how foolish they are to resist the will of God. Why don't the leaders of the nations study the Bible and take warning? Why do they go to their certain destruction upon the mountains of Israel? Why don't they realize that this little nation, this defenseless nation of Israel, has God as its defender? I suppose we shouldn't wonder at the blindness of the nation when people who profess to be Christians and students of the Bible are unaware of the significance of events that are happening daily. We even hear professing Christians say, "The Jews have no right to the land of Israel," or "the nation of Israel will never last." The truth of the matter is that the time will soon come when the nation of Israel will be the only nation left upon the face of the earth, for it is a part of the coming kingdom of God. God said concerning Israel in Jeremiah 30, verses 10 and 11, and I wish you'd remember this passage and read it. It's Jeremiah 30, verses 10 and 11. That he would make a full end of all the nations where he had scattered Israel, but he would not make a full end of Israel. And so we read that God will plead with the nations, with earthquakes and fire and hailstones. And yes, it seems that the armies will even be led to destroy their own brothers, according to the 21st verse. God has spoken to the inhabitants of the world in the language of love and compassion, and provided a way of salvation in Christ Jesus. But many do not understand that kind of language. He will soon speak to the world through force and destruction, and the world will understand when he speaks. Verse 23 says, "Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord." When these great events take place upon the mountains of Israel, the nations of the world will see the hand of God and be led to recognize that only God could accomplish this great destruction of these godless forces. Be with us next week as we continue with these thoughts on the prophecies of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Heavenly Father, we ask once again that your blessing might be upon thy word as it is preached. This small thought that we have taken, we pray that you'll create in the hearts of those who listen an interest to become students of thy word, that they might know the future as it is revealed in thy word. We thank thee that thy word does not fail, that the prophecies are sure, and we can wait for them and know that they will come to pass, and that Jesus will come according to thy promise, and that great and glorious events will take place upon this earth, even as we now see the fulfillment of thy word in many ways. Bless us together, for we ask it through Jesus' name. This has been the Voice of Tomorrow, brought to you by the Churches of God in Christ Jesus, located at Morrytown in Seven Fountains, Virginia. Our mailing address is the Voice of Tomorrow, Lot 1, Morrytown, Virginia, or Pastor Dale Ward, Lot 1, Morrytown, Virginia. Be with us next week as we continue with the Voice of Tomorrow program.